Hi everyone, welcome to the Elemental Heart Wisdom podcast. I am your host, Mara Elaine O'Grady, and in this podcast we will explore all things related to nature-based spirituality, earth wisdom traditions, embodiment tools, and the mystic traditions in order to assist you in finding your inner light and sight in these evolutionary times on our planet. So welcome everyone. This is the Elemental Heart Wisdom Podcast with me, Mara. And I'm here today with Bjørn Andreas Bull-Hansen. Bjørn is a Norwegian novelist or best-selling novelist, I believe. He's also a bushcrafter, a nature advocate, a YouTuber with three different channels, actually, and speaks on a range of different topics from Viking lifestyle and also supporting young men in masculinity and life coaching and lots, a whole array of topics, and has a massive following. So I really recommend checking Bjørn out on YouTube. Amazing videos. I just absolutely love them, and with such integrity and humility and humor and all that you bring into what you share, Bjørn, I'm very honored to have you here today. Thank you.
Well, that was lots of kind words there. Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I'm delighted to have you. As I was telling you before we got on the call, I came across you recently. I'm doing a lot of different consciousness work on ancestral healing and also resolving trauma between the masculine and the feminine. And a lot what was coming in through the land that I live upon was the layers of Viking and Irish interactions, you know, through the time. And obviously we have a massive Viking base here in the east of Ireland, and a couple over on the west where I live as well. So I think there's definitely a merging of culture with the Irish and the Viking for sure. Oh, yeah. So I know that you have researched and you live upon the land of these ancestral roots. And I'd love you to speak a little bit to the land that you live upon and how this connection has emerged for you with really diving deep into your Viking roots.
Yeah, well, actually, I do. I can go and walk my dogs, and I often do, literally among the grave mounds and stone circles of my ancestors, pre-Viking Age sites that had significance for the people back then. And obviously, for someone who knows the history of, the Bronze Age history and Viking history and so on, it's right in the middle of everything right there. I live in the southeastern part of Norway. The fjord here is called Viken. And one of the theories concerning the word Viking, which is not a verb like many Americans think, is that those were the people who came from this area, from Viken, this fjord, or any fjord. That's not the theory, but it's right here. And I do feel a connection all of the time when I'm outside, out in the forest, out at sea, and it's a very strong connection. It's not like everyone who lives here has that connection. Sadly, I would say, but it's certainly it's not difficult to, if you're talking about connecting to the land, it's not difficult. It's a perfect area for that, I would say.
Beautiful. So that for you then, that connection with the stone circles and the sacred places, have they evoked in you a deep memory of any particular ancestors, or is it just a general feeling of the culture that you remember?
No, I'm not. No, it's It's not like that. It's just a general feeling and
Right.
and knowledge, the knowledge that I have about what happened at certain places and sites, historical sites. It's a very that gives me a very strong connection because I know what happened here and why. And well, we don't know everything, but of course, but
Yes.
it's I'm not so concerned about any what some people would call like almost like a magical connection with something. I'm not so concerned about that. I'm a very simple man. I don't care so much about those things. I just like to be out in the woods and out at sea. There's a connection there. I come my my ancestors came from this place, not all of them, but most of them. I know this because I've had someone in my close in one of my relatives has done research on the ancestral lines going back there. We came from Ireland, actually, many hundreds of years ago.
Really?
Like before the Viking Age. But of course, that far back, it's there are many uncertainties, as you know.
Of course.
But she traced it back to year 100 or something like that.
Wow. On which side of your family?
Ireland.
On your father or your mother's side?
Oh, this was on my father's side.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. And then going back, are you multiple generations Norwegian then on both sides?
Since the 1500s. And then some, well, there are many, of course, but some were from the 1500s coming from Denmark. They came from the British Islands. And then there's many other lines. They're all like Norwegians, like going back past the Viking Age as people living in this area. But we're all like a mixture of different genes, right?
Of course we are. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that we can pull from all of those different genes, right, in terms of how we meet the landscape and how we meet life, I suppose, in these times. So in that respect, then, when you speak to your connection with nature, it's really an instinctive connection with being out in nature and what that brings to you. Could you tell me what that brings to you, how you engage with nature?
Yeah, well, it's just, it's very simple. It's not complicated. I just feel like this is right. This is how it should be. And what goes away concerning stress and so on, it should go away because maybe it's not so important. You know, you see that, you understand that when you're out in nature for some time. And again, you know, doesn't need to be so complicated. That's it. What matters? Well, what matters is to have some food and some shelter for the night. And that makes me happy. I don't need much more than that, you know. So
well, isn't that the true wealth, really?
This, yeah.
That, yeah. So I mean, I suppose that when people have become so disconnected and removed from nature, that even the simplest connection with nature now seems like it's almost unachievable for some, you know, in this time.
Yes, and you know what? I'm on YouTube, as you mentioned. I have four channels, actually. But
Wow, prolific. Bjorn.
No, the fourth is just a training vlog. So it's not for, well, people can watch it if they have such interests, what I get more often than I like is comments, saying things like they don't believe that I'm really out in nature. Some people claim that I'm using a green screen? Yes, actually. And I first time I saw that, I thought that was a joke. That's a bit funny. Now I've seen it several times, and
wow,
claims like, I just park my car over here and I walk over to the other side and it's all fake. And I try not to get angry. I don't get angry, but it's because I understand that these people, they probably live in a very urban area.
Yeah.
Maybe they've never been out in the woods, you know. There's a bit of envy going into that whole thing, but it is a bit scary that there are, and I don't read all the comments, and still I have seen those comments more often than I like. And why do people put in doubt that I'm actually out there? I mean, I'm not claiming that I'm in the far, far wilderness somewhere.
No.
I am actually, but it's like, it's,
well, there is no conception of it. You know, it's the same here in Ireland. Like, I live in the countryside here. I interact with nature daily and post pictures around that in order for people to be able to bridge and receive those energies, because they can't, you know, a lot of people can't access that. And similar to that, I do think that there is envy. There's like, well, isn't it well for you that you can be in nature and do those things? But it's a choice, right? It's a choice in how you live your life. And
yeah,
I mean, that is very upsetting that people have become that removed, that they can't even tell reality from a projected reality, you know? So, yeah. Mm. I wouldn't pay much attention to them, Bjorn, to be honest.
No, I don't.
I don't know.
It's a
yeah,
bit sad,
yeah.
You know.
It is. But I think that's where we're at. I think that the world has, as you know, divided and split in the last few years in particular, where many have made different choice points in how they're going to navigate their lives. And I think the coming back to nature and what is simple and what you need to actually thrive and survive in these times is really important. So I love that you share that, and that is the gold for these times, you know, how to build a fire, and, you know, watching you build a fire and create, you know, a simple cup of coffee and food and being out in that way. Gosh, I mean, if we lose that, where are we going to be?
Well, I've been in England, and you know what, I'll admit it straight away, I've never been to Ireland.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, England is no bless the English folk, but England is not a patch on Ireland.
No, it's very embarrassing. I need to get myself to Ireland very soon, because also it's important concerning my writing as a novelist and so on.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But I've been to England a few times, and what upsets me is that there are people. I love England. I will say I love England. Yeah. That's why I've been there, you know. But it's the people everywhere, and also rules about everything everywhere. And you can't go camping, hiking where you want.
Yeah.
That last bit there is strange to me, because as a Norwegian, we are brought up with, well, you can go hiking and camping where you want, of course. It's in the law here. Of course, not on someone's lawn. Like,
yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? So,
It's very boxed off and regulated over there. I just came back from a trip driving over, and yeah, it's a very, very different reality to Ireland, actually, in terms of landscape. There's a lot of wild camping here. There's a lot of freedom to roam here, which is amazing. And it's actually written into the ancient Irish laws that, you know, farmers will open their land to you to cross
great.
Through and that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's a very different feel. So the wildness is still very intact here, which I love about Ireland.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I mentioned this because I do see that governments around in different countries are pushing for more restrictions concerning your freedom of movement, which is troubling and a bit scary. So that must not happen, you know.
I hear you deeply. I didn't find you when in the COVID narrative times in those times, but I really resonate with all that you've shared and take a similar stance as well. It was crazy in Ireland. It was a very tough place to exist during those years.
I heard about that.
Very, very, very tough. And I'd say I had 2 years of being totally hermited by myself. And it was, we were those who made a different decision were shunned out of society, which has been heartbreaking, actually. You know.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to. I know about that, and I'm so sorry to hear it.
Yeah.
To hear about that, I can tell you that in Norway it wasn't really that bad.
Right.
Sweden was okay, you know. Norway was a little bit crazy, but not. I didn't notice much of any of that. Actually,
That's great.
Well, they did push for the
the
whole injection thing all of the time and all that, but you could go about your normal life. At least, well, I did so. At one point there, I just stopped listening to what they were saying.
You have to. You have to. You couldn't, you know. Yeah. Luckily, I live in the countryside. So, I, you know, freedom was not restricted on that level. But still, it was a tricky and horrific time, I have to say. And there'll always be another big thing. So it's how do you stay balanced and rooted in these times so that you're not going into polarized energies?
Well, I don't know if I am, honestly.
Okay. Well, you seem like you are.
Well, that's in the videos, I guess. I do get upset.
Of course.
And like now we have these corruption scandals in Norway. And I'm sitting in the sofa here saying, I told you all that Norway is a corrupt country and you wouldn't listen. And now, the former prime minister, you know, and they're calling it something different, but it's corruption, you know, and all that. So that's, it makes me upset and angry. And but I do find again that as soon as I go out into nature, that it goes away.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter so much anymore.
Absolutely. No. Absolutely. Well, it's a different consciousness. I believe that, I don't know if this is your belief system at all, but I'm very connected with nature in terms of how we interact or coexist with one another and the energy around that, and how, you know, when we are present with nature and when we interact with humility and reverence, that nature holds us in a way and really helps restore us.
I agree. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. And it's like that view of nature is very good that I couldn't have said it any better. I feel that nature is never against me. And I've actually been buried in an avalanche. I almost died.
But
I still believe that nature is never against me. It's on my team. We're on the same team, you know?
Yes.
And I disagree with the people who, you know, that attitude you see on the TV, these so-called survival shows, it's man against nature and so on. Well, that's what got us into this trouble.
Absolutely.
That attitude, you know?
Absolutely.
I don't like that at all. So, nature, yes, as you said, will hold us. And if you know about nature, if you know nature, like know the plants, the trees, how to navigate, how the weather patterns move, you will be quite comfortable out in nature. And you will know how to have a pleasant time out there, even if the weather is bad and all
Yeah.
that. So,
Yes. So true. And how to spot danger as well, and also navigate it if you need to, which is a great skill to have. So for you, Bjorn, I know that you speak a lot around really the masculine voice that's really needed, I feel, particularly in these times of integrity and what it means to be a man, and the other narratives, the counter narratives that are happening through social media now, which are just toxic, and that young men and women are following on both sides, what could you speak to the importance really of role models and of grounded role models moving through these times in that respect?
First I will say just a few words about weakness, then about talk I will talk a little bit about role models, because we have basically two ideas that are very dominant now about how men should be, what masculinity is. You have, let's just call them the woke crowd. People will know what I mean when I say the people, what toxic masculinity, and you shouldn't be masculine, and all that. Do you know what I mean by it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I do.
And then you have, and that it comes from a place of weakness, right? And then you have also, the what's his name, the Andrew Tate, is it Andrew Tate?
Yes, I'd only heard of him recently, actually, through you.
Recording stopped.
Sorry, we're back. We dropped off there.
Well, I'll
Okay,
just continue, and
do.
then I'm pretty sure his name is Andrew Tate, and most people will know who that person is. He's in his with his shirt off, smoking a cigar. Women should be used, and all of that thing.
Yeah.
That also comes from a place of weakness. It's not masculinity. It's not being a man. They are acting like immature boys, and I have no respect for that at all. It's just silly and stupid and a little bit evil. But I think both of those fractions, those groups there, we wouldn't have had people believing in any of those ideas if we had good role models. It goes for both girls and boys, but I'll talk about the boys now. We in this part of the world, a lot of, especially those who are younger than me, they grew up without the present father. So they did not have a masculine, positive masculine role model. So they grow up believing either that being proper masculine is bad and toxic, or they think that you need to be one of these idiots, with a shirt off, smoking a cigar, talking about women like they're all, excuse my language, prostitutes, because that's their role model that they found on the internet. We need positive role models, and I don't know how to provide that to boys today. But if you do some sports, maybe that your coach could be a role model there. If it's and or you know, I'm the Boy Scouts, maybe. I was in the Boy Scouts. And it's like we need more men to take that, to do things where they meet boys so that they can be those good positive role models.
Well, and also it's you embodying it in your own life and how that ripples out to, you know, the young men that you meet or young women, whatever. I feel that that's important, that you know, that there is an adulting that happens where that exemplified automatically helps the young people around you, I feel, you know. And the nature connection is massive. I think that is that plays a pivotal role, would you say?
It absolutely does. And it's very difficult, I think, to be a whole person. This goes for both girls and boys and women and men. It's I would say you will never be whole and true to yourself if you do not have that connection with nature. You will never know who you are if you do not have that connection with nature.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's everything. Thank you. Yeah. And you are a great role model, by the way. I don't have children myself, but I have a young nephew in his late teens, and I've sent him your videos to watch, because it needs to be pervasive. Something needs to stop that kind of narrative that is just it's epidemic levels, I feel, in terms of what's being fed to the children now.
Yeah, and it's like, I fear that, and I know that these young people are wasting their so many years and maybe their entire lives believing in these stupid role models that they have adopted, so to speak, and these ideals that, like, for instance, these, I can't remember, they're calling it something, but, you know, these people who think that like the Andrew Tates of this world, you know, it's like if you go out as a young boy or a teenage boy with that mindset, you will always be unsuccessful when it comes to women. You will be always perceived as a loser, and you'll get nowhere. Quite the opposite of what they are promoting, and they're not promoting it for free, by the way. That's
right. Yeah.
So it's like they will be wasting years and possibly their entire youth or life. And the women, the girls, I think it's even worse. I'm not up to date at all about their ideals, but I think it's a very superficial thing going on with girls now.
Yes.
How they should look in a certain way and all that. And also we have thing where, oh, you don't need a man, you don't need anyone, and all that. And well, it's that's a lie for most people.
It is a lie. It is a lie. And it's division. It's this division between man and woman, and how whatever they can do to try and cause that rift, which ultimately causes every other sort of problem escalating from that. You know, how can we set against each other? How can we pitch sexes against each other? The whole, you know, and races, the whole thing. It's a tricky balance. So I think the more of us that are doing the work to be just grounded adults, you know, with these aspects of us reconciled as well, you know, is really important work.
No? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's so much going on in the world. I'd love to actually just speak to, do you know, through your own research, in terms of what was the dynamic between, going back to Viking times, the men and the women, because we've such a poor depiction of kind of that role of men and women in Viking times from the early conquests here.
Yeah, well, I know quite a bit about that. And we are constantly gaining more knowledge. But I can, you know, there are some myths and misconceptions about the whole thing. So you have the Viking female warrior. And that's, well, there are actually, in the sagas, it's mentioned that couple of occasions. It was probably very uncommon, for good reason.
Yeah.
Because women are smaller, and back then they were much smaller. The men were smaller too.
Right.
The Vikings were not giants. And they would be slaughtered at the battlefield.
Yeah.
The women. They would, or be captured and sold as slaves to, you know, that was the brutal reality of the whole thing. So that's one thing. And we need to realize that you did not have the same amount of choice concerning your life when you go back to the Viking Age, because of obvious reasons. Also for women, life was more dangerous because of childbirth. Back then, it was risky, you know. People seem to forget these things. So you did not have the same amount of choice. If you were a boy, you would be doing these things here. If you were a girl, you would be doing these things, right?
Yes.
But then again, we must not think that it was like 1400s continental Europe either, because it was not. If we're talking about pre-Christian era,
yes,
we know, for instance, that girls did sports. That was a big thing. They would do sports like the boys. And then with Christianity came new laws and more separation, so that between boys and girls, so that girls were not allowed to do sports anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that women had certain rights. They had the right to divorce. They would inherit, for instance, the voting right at the ting, you know, where they got together to vote about things, you know. So if she was a widow, she would be having the vote, keeping the vote of her deceased husband, and so on. And you had, well, I could go on and on and on about property rights. And
yes.
So there's a lot that could be said about it, but
so there's more equality. There was equality on a level between man and woman in those times, you feel?
What did you say there?
Do you feel there was equality between man and woman in those times?
Equality? No.
Well,
no,
you know, no.
No. There was no equality in the Viking Age. Like they had slaves for, that's one thing.
Okay.
You know, no equality. And most people, they did not really have much to say if the nobles said, you need to do this, you need to do that. And it got worse as power was centralized under one king.
Right.
And for instance, in Norway, they fought ferociously
yes.
against the centralization of power, and managed to kill quite a few of those kings to try to do that, so that they could keep more local power, local power.
Right.
Yeah, so which can be, which it is a bit similar to what's going on in the world right now.
Yeah. Okay.
Except we're not killing kings, but anymore.
We're doing it in a different way. Yeah.
I'll say no more.
Yeah. Fair enough. Well, I think these cycles of time, they replicate and repeat, right? There's cultural themes that keep showing up. Do you feel?
Nothing new under the sun.
No.
Just the tools are a little bit different. We're still just apes with long legs. I know a lot of Christian people especially get mad at me when I say that. That's why I say it a lot. And and it's like, we're not that advanced. We're just apes with long legs, quite advanced tools, and we're 4 meals away from anarchy. So That's
Yeah.
the
Yeah.
that's us.
That sums it up there right now, for sure. Do you, Bjorn, have any, do you have a spiritual practice, or is that not something that you would, is nature just your connection to kind of balancing and connecting to more than yourself, or do you even believe in that?
I like to walk in the woods. That's my spiritual practice.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And so then for you, like on a daily basis, are there certain practices that keep you set, or endeavor to keep you centered in these wild times?
Well, I am a novelist, so that means that
right.
I kind of mentally leave this world for several hours every day. So I'm
yeah.
maybe that counts.
Yeah. Absolutely. That gives a break from what's going on, for sure. Yeah. Well,
and I do powerlifting, which is also and archery.
Strength.
Getting back into archery now. I like that. But the focus that you need for very you know, powerlifting is a very technical sport. So is archery, of course, and the
Yes.
focus that you need, well, it's very healthy to have that kind of focus on something different, because it requires all of your focus. So
absolutely. So you're fully present, and you're utilizing different parts of your brain as well, and your body, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So the power of, I suppose, building resilience in the body ultimately helps build resilience mentally, you feel?
Oh yeah, that's a different aspect and very important, I would say. I think doing some kind of a sport, we should all do some kind of sport or physical exercise, because it's healthy, you know, and we were built to move and be active. And I think that people now, they sit still a lot. And I think that alone can be, that alone is a reason to unhappiness, depression, things like that. It's not good. And, you know, I don't like the smartphone. I don't have a smartphone. Most people do. I'm not here to point my finger at anyone, but I'm just trying to get across the message that it might not be good for us to spend like 3, 4, 5 hours every day looking at that smartphone. Maybe we would be better off without doing that. It's just a suggestion. I had a smartphone myself 3 years ago, threw it away. So I'm never going back at all. Never.
Well done. Yeah, that's a really powerful move. They are just, yeah, they suck the life force out of most of us, you know.
I have one.
Oh, yes, the old phone. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a really bigger, that speaks to a bigger thing of being able to pull away from all of the things that are taking your attention, you know, through technology, and kind of taking back your time on a simple level and re-engaging with life on those levels.
Yeah, I think that kids, they should get a knife instead of a phone, and they should be encouraged to get into whittling.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of looking at their smartphone.
Yeah, I would agree. Or anything, any of the crafts. I feel like, you know, knitting or weaving, anything that you're working with your hands with is a really...
So I'm going to give an example. It's a bit funny, but I don't take the bus because I have a car. I don't like public transport.
No, either do I. No.
But and I don't live in the city, so I, you know, it's, well, but anyway, if I did take the bus, I would want to get my knife out and start whittling, waiting for the bus. The crazy thing is that people would be looking at me like this.
Yeah.
But they are the crazy ones because they're all looking at their smartphone.
I know.
I'm doing the healthy thing, you know?
I totally agree with you. No, I know. It's passing a bus stop the other day, and just every person, there was about 10 people lined up, and every person was arched like this, just like the head over, just looking at the phone. It was, I thought, what reality have I stepped into? It's scary, you know?
But I get it. It's boring to wait for the bus, you know? And I get it. So,
people watching was the thing back in the day. You know, just watch people instead. But
yeah, and it's like when I've made a few videos, one per year. So 1 year without a smartphone, 2 years without a smartphone. Now, this weekend, I did the 3 years without a smartphone video. And then I do get comments that, well, I'm watching this on a smartphone. It's like, yes, I know that.
I know that.
You can also watch it on a laptop computer or your TV or so on. Or you can watch it on your smartphone, just saying that I don't have a smartphone and this is mine. So,
I totally agree. And I listened to that. I listened to that video and I agree on all the points. And I'm really trying to endeavor to get off mine because it's really... Yeah, it's a thing, but it's renegotiating your time and how you spend it on technology, isn't it?
Yeah. So for me, that's a big thing for me because I am on YouTube and
of course
it would be too much if I did not do that. Like I use scheduling a lot.
Right.
It's not like I'm sitting watching my channels all the time. I scheduled videos and I try to work in such a way that I'm not online every day and
that's really important. I was going to ask you about how you achieve that balance with nature and the writing and being online. So it's
I do live streams on one of the channels, as you know. I usually do those after my writing in the morning. Then I'm sitting there in front of my computer anyway. So I feel it's okay to have a chat with people online.
That makes sense. And you do it so well. So thank you for your voice. No, honestly, it's really important, you know. And obviously that reflects in the amount of people that are feel connected to what you're bringing through as well, which is fantastic, you know.
Well, I don't know if it's so fantastic. It's just some guy sitting there in the half darkness and talking.
Well, you know, it's about connect. It's about talking about real things and, you know, keeping that voice in there. And some people don't have the courage to speak like you do. So, thank you for doing it on behalf of those that don't.
Well, thank you.
So I know, Bjorn, that there's so many things that I want to talk to you about, but look,
some other time.
I would love that. I would love that. And maybe to conclude, I'd love to just round this off with what freedom means to you personally.
Well, that's a big question.
I know. I know.
I'll try to reply. I think freedom is more about what life would be without it. It's like air. So a good life, in a good life, you have freedom. And if you take, and then maybe you don't notice freedom so much. And then if you take it away, it's like taking the air away. You can't breathe. I think.
Yeah.
But freedom is necessary. And, that's why I've talked about it quite a lot on YouTube, because I need to get that message across. It is my most important message and our most important message. We must not allow freedom to be taken from us. It will be very difficult to get it back if that happens.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks, Bjorn. Thank you so much for your presence in the world. And yeah, I hope to be reading your Viking novels at some point in English. I know I've heard that you're pushing for that to happen
Yes,
at some
I'm
point.
doing my best.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. And I'm sure it'll happen. So we'll add to that energy. Thank you so much. And again, just anyone who's listening, you're just a fountain of wisdom and stealth, actually. And you may, honestly, and there's a lot there for people. So I would recommend everyone check you out. And we'll put all the usual links there for people. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Great.